Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. We all know that SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers. With that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. Now, when you have great technicians, they have a lot already there to serve you. But when you have a 107-year-old business with the reputation of Sunbury Motors, you need more. So they're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they want to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or you can call Todd at 286-7746. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Andrew Benintendi, one of the newer Yankees, makes a play.
0-1. Swinging a high fly ball, left field, it's deep. Winker's going back, he's near the warning track, he leaps and it's over his head. Donaldson will score. Coming around shortly behind him is Torres. The throw comes back into the cutoff man. It's a two-run double for Andrew Benintendi. Yankees go up 6-2.
Won the game last night, and Aaron Judge hit his 44th as he continues on track to get to Roger Maris, which would not only be the Yankee record, it is the American League record. All the home runs beyond 61 are all National League. Bonds, McGuire, Sosa, they're all National League. So the American League record is the Roger Maris 61. So that's the bottom line. And that's what he's chasing. Now, whether he can get to anybody else, we'll see. He also has to stay healthy. That's been the great part of his season. He has stayed healthy. And that's made a big difference for him. Again, ESPN out of the Big Ten contract, but that doesn't mean Big Ten teams won't ever appear on ESPN. I mean, because there'll be non-conference games. Like, I know that Ohio State, for example, played Oregon at home. They were supposed to play at Oregon in 20, and that got canceled. But just say, for example, it's 2026, and they have Oregon again, okay? And the game's at Autzen Stadium, and ESPN has the Pac-10 contract, okay? Well, the game would be on ESPN because they're the ones that have. So to think that they're never going to be on ESPN over the 7 years, no. There'll be some Big Ten games on ESPN, depending on if it's a non-conference game or a bowl game. You're not shut out of that. But they are not going to be carrying Big Ten football on a regular basis. There'll be many a weekend where there is no Big Ten football on ESPN. All right, let's turn our attention to Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Ben, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
We'll get to a wide variety of topics here. We'll start with Media Day. What were your general impressions?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest impression is just this team is ready to go. I think there's a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and you know, I think maybe if any team this time of year has a little bit of a chip on its shoulder, but you know, Sean Clifford is ready to go. The new guys are ready to go. The defensive line looks big and has lots of options. So I think this is a team that's just ready to go out, but also sort of understands the schedule it's got in front of it and the challenges that lay ahead.
Did you learn anything maybe you didn't know before the day?
I don't know if I learned anything specific other than Mitchell Tinsley's favorite football player growing up was Reggie Bush. But I think the thing that I learned overall was that maybe I've overlooked the strengths of this team and the confidence that those strengths have. I think looking at the schedule, looking at some of the question marks that they have at offensive line and linebacker, I was sort of like, you know, I guess we'll just see. And, you know, ultimately, I guess we will just see. But I think after that day, talking to a lot of people, you know, I think I feel a little bit more optimistic about how Penn State's year might go. And I think that's a testament to the talent they've brought in and a testament to the attitude that a lot of these leaders on this team have. So maybe nothing that I didn't really already know, but I do think something about their psyche kind of convinced me that, you know, maybe these guys are going to be a little bit better than I was giving them credit for.
The media gets a practice opportunity on Wednesday, which is tomorrow. So, Ben, when you go to one of those, what usually is your game plan?
You know, it depends on the time of year. I think early on you're just trying to get a look at some of the new faces and see how they're built. And, you know, Dennis Sutton is a great example of a kid that I had not seen in person and then saw him last week, and you go, man, he is a big kid for a freshman. So you kind of learn things about that. You know, when there's always new coaching members, you know, I think we had not seen Manny Diaz do anything until last week, and he was really hands-on, you know, really sort of up in the drills, really being a part of everything. So that was interesting to see. You know, and then later in the year, just kind of depends on injuries and health and everything like that. You know, this time of year, you know, they're still getting into a lot of install stuff. And as much as everyone wants to get you to subscribe to their message board for all the insight, we don't see much that's really going to change, you know, your perception of Penn State football week in and week out. But it is a good chance to see these guys up close and get a sense of what they're made of.
It's interesting you mentioned the size of Denai Dennis Sutton. And Jack Ham and I were talking on the phone Friday. And he says, how big is he? And I said, 6'5". He says, you got to be kidding me. Right? And not only 6'5", but I mean, he's long, good first step. I mean, you know, there's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks athletic. You know, I didn't have a chance because I wasn't covering the team at the time to really get up close and personal with Aaron Maben. But, you know, you think of some of these guys that have been longer and bigger bodied that just have strength and athleticism. You know, I guess we'll wait and see how it unfolds on the field. But, you know, I looked at his arms as he was jogging to a different drill area, and you just go, man, he and I were very different as true freshmen. once upon a time, that kid is just ready. And I think the exciting thing, if you're a Penn State fan, is, you know, I've gone back over the years and looked at some of those freshman pictures that I've taken, and I've found a couple of Saquon. And, you know, he was a kid that came into Penn State well-built, but then you compare him to where he was his junior year and really even his sophomore year, and you go, man, these kids have so much growing to do. And for him to think about him getting that big and that much stronger and that much faster and more athletic is really an exciting and sort of terrifying prospect at the same time.
Anybody else outside of the spring guys that are new now that also caught your interest?
I mean, I think, you know, this is maybe a cop-out a little bit, but I do think seeing Mitchell Tinsley in person was interesting. You know, I think that, you know, just watching him work, you know, he really, it's, you know, I wrote about this, and I think anybody that talked to him a little bit, there's a lot of Jahan Dotson in him. And I think that, you know, Mitchell Tinsley has an opportunity to make a name for himself in his own right, and to a certain extent already has or had at Western Kentucky. So I think just how he runs, how he conducts himself, how he, you know, seems to take care of the little details, that's the stuff that sort of sticks out with you. And that's the sort of thing that makes guys like him great players, makes Jair Brown great players. In terms of new guys, you know, I hadn't been up that close to Zaki Wheatley until this spring. And I think he's a big, lanky kid that really, you know, they said he's 6'2", but he seems a lot bigger than 6'2". As someone who is into the 6'3" area, I can recognize a tall person, and he seems like a big kid. So, yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's just really getting to size these guys up for the first time. Jerry Cross, another guy in that tight end room that could make some noise this year. So, yeah, I think it's just getting to see them. And some of those newer guys that I think were ready to step up into bigger roles were really the ones that stuck out to me.
All right, the basketball's non-conference schedule is officially announced today. Winthrop Monday the 7th, Loyola the 10th, Butler on Monday the 14th, then Furman to start out the Charleston Classic. Then you got 3 days there on the 17th, 18th, and 20th. Lafayette on Black Friday, 29th, a Tuesday at Clemson. Then they've got Canisius, Quinnipiac, and Delaware State here. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's pretty good. I mean, I think the challenge that you have, if you're really, you know, Micah Shrewsbury, Pat Chambers, Ed DeChellis, Jerry Dunn, is you've got to pick up wins in the non-conference, but you also want to pick up solid, you know, wins that help you in those quad one areas. You know, ultimately, playing in the Big Ten, you're going to have opportunities night in and night out to pick up quality resume-building wins, and obviously Penn State, in general, you know, just has to win games in general. So I think, you know, from an RPI, from a power ranking, from a, you know, all the different acronym perspectives, you know, I think this looks pretty good. I think, too, from getting, you know, your casual fan involved in following along with the season, you and I know that Winthrop has had good seasons over the last couple of years.
Right.
But that might not necessarily move the needle the same way that people go, oh, you remember when Butler, you know, made the Final Four, made the national title game. This is interesting. Clemson, you know, is, you know, obviously a brand that people are familiar with. And I think that's always a plus when you have your team playing against another team that you've heard of. That's going to bring eyeballs in. And I think, you know, the fact that they've played Butler at home is cool for that factor. I think the fact that they go to Clemson is cool for that factor. And then you have a bunch of games in here that, you know, are going to give them the opportunity to win. And I think really for this team, and especially early on in the year, you just want to pick up wins. You want to add confidence. And you also want to have enough of a challenge that how you play actually matters.
Yeah, and plus Thad Mott is now coaching Butler, so that'll be of interest when he comes in. And you don't know who you end up with in Charleston. I mean, you could end up with Virginia Tech. You could end up with Colorado State. You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, people forget, and you know, I'm guilty of it just now too. The whole other side of that bracket aspect, because you're right. You know, Virginia Tech, that's another opportunity to pick up a solid win, and frankly, just a solid. A little bit of metrics in your schedule for strength of schedule. So, yeah, if I'm Micah Shrewsbury, I think you feel good about this schedule. It's got a little bit of everything. And at the end of the day, I don't think that there's anything on here that you go, man, that doesn't really fit into the equation. And I think that's the biggest thing, is you want to be able to challenge yourself and get ready for Big Ten play. But at the same time, you don't want to make it too hard on yourself, because that sort of defeats the purpose.
All right, so now let's get to the TV part. John Oram reporting, and now others have picked up on it, that ESPN rejected the chance at a 7-year, $380 million deal with the Big Ten, which tells me, Ben, it's going to be a 7-year contract. That's one. Number two, that CBS and NBC would get exclusive windows, or whatever, you know, that means exclusivity-wise, because you know BTN is going to be carrying some games. But in terms of the network prime part of it, and then Andrew Marchand and both John Oram reporting, and it's $350 million apiece for those, and you and I both know Fox is paying more. Your thoughts on ESPN being out and others being in?
Yeah, I mean, I think on the one hand, you know, ESPN is always going to be the marquee sports brand. Now, I know these other stations are going to argue that that's not the case, but ESPN is ESPN, and I think when you get away from ESPN, there is a loss there. I think at the same time, as you see streaming services and cable packages change and people figuring out different ways to get their content, that if you're on CBS, if you're on you know, some of these lower channeled number stations, you have an opportunity to bring in even more eyeballs. And I'm not sure how the math works out on all of that, because I'm not familiar with the subscriber numbers, but I think we knew from a numbers perspective, financially, that this was going to be a big deal, literally and figuratively. And I think the nice thing for Penn State is, you know, it's one of those things that as conferences change, as TV deals change, as things change across college football, Penn State's always going to be a brand that is in the thick of the conversation that moves the needle. So I think on the one hand, it's great for Penn State because, you know, all of this money, when you divvy it all up, is going to mean more for Penn State and more for athletics and more for the university and more for the things they want to do. On the other hand, I think Penn State's such a big brand, and the Big Ten is such a big brand, that you know, as long as they're on TV. That's what Bill O'Brien said back with the sanctions. He's like, I don't care what station it is. You just have to be on TV. I think if you're Penn State, you know, you'll be on PBS and people are going to watch. And I think that's always a good sign for that program.
Penn State was fourth last year in average audience per game that they played, and fourth in the nation last year. All right, the streaming part of it. Now, that hasn't been talked about by, you know, everyone's wondering what the streaming element's going to be. Is it Peacock as an addition to NBC? Is it Amazon? Is it Apple? Doesn't matter who. Let's start with this. How do you consume media, Ben? Do you get cable? Do you stream? How do you consume it?
I've been a little bit of both over the last year. I had cable. I actually got cable because I was tired of streaming the Sixers. But that's neither here nor there. So I had cable, but I have been transitioning towards the streaming. You know, for our line of work, I think, you know, anytime, especially if you're watching, you know, let's say Penn State basketball on the road, you know, that 15 to 35 to 45 seconds delay can make a difference, I think, on the tweets and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many things to choose from that I think it's really just your preference. And I do think the streaming part is going to be interesting to see how that gets added in, because that adds eyeballs, that's more revenue for advertisers and things like that. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see if one day Penn State partners with something on their own or something along with the Big Ten to get some of those other sports in the fold, kind of like Notre Dame does and sort of like the Big Ten Network does with some of its streaming packages. I've done that, and that's always been successful as well, because you can watch some more obscure sports at times online. So it's definitely great when you've got cameras and you've got streaming, you can watch a lot of sports, and that's never a bad thing for the conference or the consumer.
Yeah. What do you think, this is going to be a pure guess on your part, how do you think, quote, the older fan would relate to having a Penn State football game? I mean, a Penn State football game. I don't mean a bunch. A Penn State football game being streamed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I think on the one hand, you know, we've seen the fan base has transitioned to mobile ticketing relatively, you know, I'm sure that there are grumpy people somewhere because there's 110,000 of them, so somebody's got to be upset. But, you know, I think that has gone pretty well. I think that, you know, people are becoming more and more tech savvy, regardless of the demographic that they might fall in. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that it does diminish a little bit the value of that game, because there's something about turning the TV on to ABC and seeing Penn State or seeing Michigan or seeing something like that. And if I have to load up an app and turn on my Apple TV, and then my reward for all of this is watching Penn State play a noon game at Rutgers, you know, maybe not everybody feels like they want to put in that energy or effort to figure it all out. So I think streaming is good. I think it has a lot of, you know, it definitely has a place in the marketplace, but I think at the end of the day, nothing really beats turning your TV on and seeing your favorite team right there.
Yeah, I think one about ESPN, you're right about the power of the brand. There's no getting around it. They've done a brilliant job of getting their brand to be number one. But I'll say this, when it comes to other sports, people over the years have found where the games are. So I think that's the old bottom line. Can you find the game?
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, that is really the thing, that, you know, is it on TV? Can you find the game? Do we have to, you know, you look up whatever cable package is that gives the CBS Sports Network so you can watch the CBI on some sad Thursday evening or something like that. It's always out there somewhere. But yeah, I mean, the power of the brand is undeniable, but at the same time, if you broadcast it, they will come. Sometimes it's just a little bit easier than other times.
I actually watched 5 minutes of that on CBS Sportsnet at one point, so I had to laugh. Ben, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at SunburyMotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Neil Coulong in the final half hour. Talk about the NFL. Big story today, of course, around here has been little bit by little bit about the release of the Big Ten TV deal. And then next up is going to be the Pac-10 TV deal, and that deal will tell you whether the Pac-10's staying together or not, because that will include a grant of rights to go with it. It looks like the Big Ten deal is going to be 7 years, based on ESPN rejecting a 7-year, $380 million deal.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Almonds Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is tomorrow. Kevin and I will be at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club not only to play tomorrow, but the show from 3 to 5. To benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, we're looking forward to it. Let's talk some football now. Let's bring in our good friend Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
Gentlemen, as always, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Seattle is the opening game. Excitement abounds.
So, not for Seattle this season, that's for sure.
No, Seattle has nothing. To their credit, they have nothing. In fact, the Steelers might be practicing kneel downs in the third quarter. But, so, what do you want to see, if anything?
If I want to see anything, and we were talking about this off air, I would really like to see Kenny Pickett get some time in with George Pickens on the field. And the reason I say that is one, as Pickens is building up the hype during camp, I'll say this and I'll die on this hill. It's a lot more than hype with him. He's legitimately the best wide receiver they've drafted in a very long time. I might put him up against Santonio, but beyond that, Pickens is extraordinarily talented. If he doesn't tear his ACL, I legitimately think he's a top 15 draft pick. I was shocked he fell as far as he did, but I don't think there are many in the NFL that track a ball deep better than George Pickens does. On top of that, if there's one thing that Kenny Pickett has, he is able to throw deep accurately, and he wants to throw deep. He's aggressive. He's a big play guy. I think just for the sake of it being preseason, I'd love to see those two get some work in together. The way it's lined up right now, I don't know if that'll happen necessarily. Pickens is running a bit more with the ones than Pickett is, but it would be fun to see. And I would say with that, just selfishly, I want to see Pickens play. He's a big-time athlete. He's a big-time player. It'll be fun to see him make a play or two. Beyond that, the main thing, and I would probably say this most years, I want to see what the offensive line is doing, because, like, for what, the fifth year in a row now, they've got a new offensive line coach. I'm curious what they'll have them do and how the players they have out there, a few of which we don't know anything about beyond their past production on different teams and the little that we could pick up during training camp. I'm curious how they're doing, what they're being told to do, what the communication is like. You know, it's a new beginning times two at center. It's going to be Mason Cole. Let's see if Woodbury native J.C. Hassenauer is up to the job, if he can find a spot on the team. There's a lot. I think I'm a huge football dork. I understand that this is not the mentality of most people, but I like the preseason for that reason. It's you focus on individuals. You kind of see what they're doing. The group stuff, it's not that it's not important, but from one team to the next, you can kind of get a sense of carryover, what they were doing, who did well with it, who didn't, things like that. I find really interesting, and that's sort of I guess the long way of saying that I'm just kind of looking forward to seeing how it all comes together on a play-by-play basis. It's not about the outcome. It's not even really about the results. I just want to see what they're doing, how they're putting it together, and what they look like, as far as what they'll continue to work on throughout camp.
Pickens can get the deep ball. Kenny Pickett can throw it. How does that align with Mike Tomlin's philosophy on offense?
For based on the personnel decisions for the last 2 years, not real good. The Steelers haven't had a deep ball in 2 years, and I might argue even longer. We're not even sure. I mean, we really haven't seen a Steelers offense that we could call reliable since probably 2018, if even then. I don't know how good that team was, but it's something that they need to have happen. Now, if there's a point that I can make that I don't necessarily agree with Mike Tomlin on, who I think is a fine coach. I think he's earned what he's had up to this point. I wouldn't bet against him. But the concept of running the ball successfully and playing defense to win games in the NFL, it just doesn't work overall. You can win games with it. You're not going to consistently do that, and you're going to fight to get to 500 probably more often than anything else. You need an explosive element to your offense. That's why you draft a Chase Claypool, going back to him. The height, weight, speed guy that theoretically should be able to make plays down the field with a quarterback, presumably, that is capable of getting him the ball. I'm not sure if they have that right now, but you got to put the weapons out there and see what you can do with what you have. But Pickens is another player that fits into that mold, and they've found playmakers like that consistently for a while now, and they've had the quarterback to do it. It wasn't the same. That quarterback changed dramatically for understandable reasons not all that long ago, and I don't know if they'll be able to replace that with what they have this year, but they should be able to put in a structure in which they're going to try to do that more, and that's going to help things. If they want to focus on being a successful running team, that would be great. We've heard that, I think, every year that the Steelers have been playing football. They're going to need to actually do it now. They've made the capital investment into their run game, a bit more financial investment into the offensive line. Not that they didn't try last year, but they had a little bit more money to spend, and they brought in. I think James Daniel is an excellent player. I think he'll fit in well. I'm curious how Mason Cole will do. They should be able to run the ball effectively enough to maybe open some things up deeper. But I also think that, if anything, they'll run RPO more than they did last year, which was a lot. I believe they led the league in RPOs by a pretty healthy margin. And I don't think that Ben Roethlisberger was a great RPO quarterback. I think Trubisky, there's one thing he can do, it's this. But RPO is not like a big play style. You might recall, do you remember that game where Nick Foles randomly threw for 7 touchdown passes, something like that?
Yeah.
Trubisky had one of those too, like in a half. You can blow up quickly with an RPO if you're playing against a defense that somehow just doesn't know how to defend it. That can happen, but you can also put up a lot of 16-point games, which Trubisky and Nick Foles both did on those teams. So they're going to have to make a commitment to getting the ball deeper down the field. I don't know whether they want to do that or not, but they're building for it, and we'll have to see how they go about it. Because when you're spending $120+ million, at least that's their cap number for their defense right now, you're probably going to be more convinced to play a little bit more conservatively and not flip the field, turn the ball over for your defense to have to play with their backs against the goal line. I feel with just Tomlin's experience, that's more of the mentality they'll have. But I think if they're going to make hay this season, they're going to have to take more chances offensively. They're going to have to get the ball down the field a bit more. And I think you're going to see quickly with George Pickens, he's capable of doing that. And this is a guy that can contribute in that regard at a high level from day one.
On defense, any mystery to you?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think they know who they are. They know what they are not. a lot of chatter going around out of Chicago with all-pro linebacker Raekwon Smith requesting a trade, apparently amid a holdout and a kind of a contract battle going on there as far as his extension. He's a top-of-market inside linebacker. Doesn't seem like he's pleased with what the valuation that he's getting from the Bears. He wants to be traded. I think he, talent-wise, I think he would be a phenomenal fit in Pittsburgh. That is to say, I think if they have a question mark, it's what we're getting out of Devin Bush. You know, what kind of player is he going to be? I have not heard anybody in the know speak very highly of Bush during camp, not even including anything from last year. It doesn't sound like he's, you know, making the jump that people kind of hoped that he was. They made a deal for a starting linebacker last year. I don't think that they're going to do that with Smith, just because Smith's price range is such that they're already paying. Minka's got a huge salary this year with his bonus, as does now Deontay Johnson. T.J. Watt is guaranteed $26 million. I don't think they'll have the cash to bring in somebody else to pay at that kind of a level, but they would absolutely love to have him. I really think that if push came to shove, a couple higher draft picks, not ones, but maybe like a two this coming year and a three the year after that, and Bush for Raekwon Smith, I think that would be a great deal for the Steelers if they had the financial ability to sign him then to a top-of-market deal, which you're going to have to do if you gave up that much capital for him. So I don't think they're in a position to want to do that now, and that would be their question mark. You know, inside linebacker is a good position to watch coming Saturday as well. What's their depth there look like? I don't know how much we're going to see of Devin Bush in a way that's going to matter in the preseason, but I think we've seen Devin Bush. They're going to have eyes for certainly next year, if not this year as well. They might be in the market to bring in an inside linebacker somewhere.
Stephen Ross has to stay on his yacht until midseason. So let me ask you this. A guy that's only had one press conference, one press availability, and has not had one since the Ross thing came out, is Tom Brady. It takes two to tango. What is his culpability in this?
You know, we don't get into that much because the rules say it really it isn't an issue with the player. They'll come down on the agent, and they'll come down on the owner or team personnel involved with it. I don't think that they ambushed Tom Brady, though. I don't think that they lied to him to get him onto the yacht. I think he knew full well what he was doing.
Of course.
I think Tom Brady is also smart enough to do a lot of these things outside of culpability. You know, he's aware of right and wrong. He knows what he should do and what he shouldn't do, and he's not doing anything wrong that he's going to be directly punished for. I don't know if that's kind of comedically endearing or it's just infuriating. It really kind of depends on what you think of Tom Brady, but I don't think we need to sugarcoat it. It's exactly what happened. He knew full well what was going on. As far as the act itself being committed, he's just as guilty as everybody else who's involved. There's no doubt about that. They didn't talk to a doppelganger, Tom Brady. They knew who they were talking to. He knew who he was talking to and what they were talking about. And the rule is, though, he just doesn't get punished for that. And because of that, nobody really cares. But, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I don't know how intense I would really want tampering to be. But in a situation like that, that's really more of what the rule is meant to prevent. It's not, you know, guys bumping into each other on the golf course. I think we said that last week. This was pretty calculated. It's pretty orchestrated. And to get into it to a point where he's going to kind of pull a Michael Jordan and retire, but come back as an owner and then activate himself to go play. It seems like that's kind of what he might have had in mind. As a free agent, though, I'm not turning down equity in an NFL team. I'll play for whatever team if that's what you're going to give me. So I don't necessarily blame him either. It's just that you probably should have gone about this a little bit different of a way than you did.
And then you have Baker Mayfield in Carolina. It sounds like he's off to a good start. What is your thought on the fit there? I mean, I'd ask you about Jacoby Brissett, but you know, we'll wait till that magic moment comes up. So I'll ask you about Baker Mayfield.
Baker, if you look at Baker's career, you can point out very clearly when he's healthy and when he's hurt.
Yep.
When he's healthy as a rookie, he did really well. In fact, it is smaller sample size, but what did he get? 7 games at the end, I think, after they got rid of Hugh and they promoted Todd Kitchens and they kind of let Baker do the things that Baker could do.
Yep.
He ripped it up. He was really good. One of the better quarterbacks in the game that we saw for sure, and he was a rookie. Second year, he was banged up. He was hurt, didn't do so well. Third year, wasn't hurt, did pretty well. We're seeing good things out of him. Last year, he's hurt the whole time. He was never healthy. I've read stories. There were people in the media that were writing this. Now, to give some insight to that, you talk about these things in the press box all the time, and you're usually trying to make your colleagues laugh and one-up the next exaggerated opinion of whatever you're watching. But legitimately, to me, it seemed like the Browns were trying to sabotage him.
Yeah.
Because it's like, there's no way he's healthy. He looks terrible. Why is he still in the game? Why are you paying Case Keenum, a solid veteran backup quarterback, why are you even paying him to be here if he's not going to play right now?
Right.
Baker looked terrible, and their team was not winning.
Right.
And I go back to this, and it's conspiracy laden. I know this is not something I would etch into stone, but that Week 17 game against Pittsburgh, it was as bad as the several final season or final week games we've seen between the Browns and the Steelers, in which the Browns apparently had to have known their head coach was getting fired after the game, and none of them cared. The game was that bad for Cleveland. They played terribly. Zero interest, zero energy. I didn't think Stefanski was getting fired, but I had no other explanation for it. It had to have been something to do with Baker, something that happened. Baker is hurt, and they threw 45 times.
Right.
They just got Nick Chubb back, who'd missed most of the season. He's the best all-around running back in the game. They had, and the Steelers were giving up, what, like 8,000 yards a game on the ground at that point? Zero interest in running the ball. They wanted to throw Baker through the wall, and I don't understand why. It made no strategic sense whatsoever. So he wasn't right. I think he is a much better quarterback than we saw of him. Is he an elite guy? Probably not. I don't know how good of a situation it is in Carolina, though, to be honest. They're a dumpster fire. Matt Rhule is lucky to still have a job right now. I don't think that's going to last. Whatever patience he has, I think, is gone now. But can Baker succeed, generally speaking? Yes. He's going to have to light it up to get an extension in Carolina, and incidentally, would be one to save Matt Rhule's job. Those are two outcomes that are just really hard for me to envision right now. I don't know how that happens. I think Baker, if he stays healthy, I think he'll perform fairly well. I don't think that team is going to win very much, and I think that's going to kill Baker's free agency value, because quarterback wins are, in my opinion, a grossly overstated stat, and he's not going to be able to argue against it. Coming off the year where you know he won the quarterback job, assuming that he does, you know, I think he will, but not set in stone yet. He's going to have to take a team that really has no roster and make them playoff level, you know, 8-9 wins, in order to kind of overcome that stigma about, well, you got to be able to win. They're not going to sign a 4-win quarterback to a $25 million deal. But he's going to have to overcome a lot of things that I don't know that team is able to overcome. It's more than just him. So I think we'll end up seeing, if he stays healthy, I think we'll see a guy that played pretty well. He's going to be top of the market as far as free agency goes. I wouldn't be surprised if Carolina would want to take a crack at him, but a new coach coming in for a team that didn't win very much is probably not going to want to sign, or he's not going to want to hook his plow to Baker Mayfield long term. So I don't know if he stays in Carolina or not, but I think he can drum up some interest in free agency. And get to the point where my obligatory pointing this out, that the Steelers just signed Mitch Trubisky to a $16 million deal. I think Baker Mayfield can make a buck or two in free agency should he reach it.
Well, you could have made a buck or two by doing this show every week. But we get you for free. Not a good deal on your part, great deal on ours.
That's how it is. I'm happy to do it, though. Thanks for having me, guys.
My friend, thank you so much. Neil Coulong will wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Okay, here we go. Down the stretch, we're at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club tomorrow for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Kevin Herr, my bud, will join me tomorrow there. Following a round of golf, I'm with the Purdy guys tomorrow, including Steve Engel, and I'm looking forward to that. It benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. It is a great event. It is the 11th consecutive year we have been there. All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.